الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Dear comrades and viewers of Madari Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, welcome back to our silsila blessings of Ahle Bayt and Sahaba. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. In our silsila today, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we're going to be talking about the events leading towards the Battle of Karbala. What happened in Medina Sharif? What happened with Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu? How he traveled from Medina Munawwara to Makkatul Mukarramah? What happened there? And then on the way to Karbala, some of the events and also some of the miracles that took place by Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Inshallah, Azawajal, we're going to be talking about the events leading to the Battle of Karbala. So I hope you can stay with us during the whole silsila.
Inshallah.
If you have your phone with you on hand, then you have a few seconds to send a few messages around to your family and friends and make sure that they are watching the silsila as well. Pyare Islam bhaiyo, Alhamdulillah Azawajal. A very beautiful topic, a very important topic is we hear about the Battle of Karbala. But what happened prior to that battle and how did the Battle of Karbala take place? Inshallah Azawajal, we're going to today talk about the events leading to that Battle of Karbala. And inshallah Azawajal, what Madani pearls that we can learn from that and also some of the miracles that happened during the time Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and or the rest of the family left Madinatul Munawwara to Karbala. Shahbaz bhai, inshallah, so let's start off with yourself. Very important topic,
alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya ibn Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Now, yesterday we spoke about Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the beloved grandson of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. You mentioned every Sunni is a Nazqan. Alhamdulillah, we all read the Quran. And the Quran itself is a Naz of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala
alayhi
wa sallam. So that person upon whom the Quran was revealed, his grandchild, or about whom he says, Hadani ibn Aya, that these two are my children. His children, his grandchildren are his children. Not only his grandchildren are his children, but about whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Husainun minni, wa ana min Husain." Now this is very important, especially for this discussion today.
Subhanallah.
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He is from me, and I am from Husain."
Subhanallah.
This plays a very important part in Subhanallah today. Jazakallahu khaira.
You know, one thing you mentioned that the Quran is a naat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone asked the question that how can the whole Quran be the naat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because Surah Ikhlas is just about Tawheed. Yeah, and mashallah azawajal, I think it was Amir al-Asnan in the Madri Muzakara. He says that no doubt Surah Ikhlas is Tawheed, but the word Qul refers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, even that is a naat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
It's very, very interesting, and we've got our learned scholar with us, that the mazmoon of Surah Ikhlas Sharif was the wahdaniyat of Allah azza wa jal. It was the oneness of Allah azza wa jal, his bayniyazi, the fact that he doesn't need anything, the fact that he's forever, he's got no children, perfect. Here, you've got the mazmoon of this beautiful Surah Mubarakah, and you've got the word kul. And the word kul, as Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatum al-Aliyah says, is in the shan of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah azza wa jal, when he talks about his own oneness and his own kibriyai, wants to hear it from the lips of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So, we're speaking about the grandchild of this perfect being, this beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One who, no doubt, looked immensely like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, the jinns of Banu Tayy, they mention something, some irrelevant about Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. They mention some ash'ar. Masahur Rasul jabinahu falahu bariqun min al khudud. The beauty of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. They say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissed his forehead. فَلَهُ بَرِيقٌ فِي الْقُدُورِ. He has an illuminating face, cheek. أَبَوَاهُ مِنْ عُلْيَا قُرَيْشَ. His father, referring to Hazrat Ali al-Murtada radhiyallahu anhu, he was from amongst the noblemen of the Quraysh. وَجَدُّهُ خَيْرُ الْجُدُودِ. And his grandfather was the greatest of grandfathers.
SubhanAllah.
Referring to Imam Hussain radhiyallahu anhu, how he was very similar. I mean, he took that beauty from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the person we're talking about. Now, we had Makkah al-Mukarramah, we had Medina al-Munawwarah. There were three very important figures. Where when Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu passed away, people were looking towards these three figures. The first was Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubayr. The second was Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar. Now, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was the most senior of them all. And he was that companion who was... He wasn't able to take part in the Battle of Badr, but he did to take part in the Battle of Uhud and the later battles. So he was possibly the oldest as well.
I'm not sure.
I think it may have been as Sayyid al-Khudri radhiyallahu anhu, who was the longest living Sahabi. But Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radhiyallahu anhu was amongst the Ibadullahi Arba'ah, meaning the great Muftis, and so was Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubayr. So people were looking towards these lot to take power or to revolt against Yazid, who was to take power. Now Yazid was chosen to take power by his father, the Amir Muawiyah. As the Amir Muawiyah radhiyallahu anhu did not know that Yazid was the person he was. That Yazid was mazala, he was a womanizer. That Yazid used to drink alcohol. That Yazid, he could say every bad thing in the book.
Yeah, that's what he did.
As the Amir Muawiyah radhiyallahu anhu did not know, yes, in fact that's what he did. As the Amir Muawiyah radhiyallahu anhu did not know this. Why he would send him ambas and he would do what he would do. But what as the Amir Muawiyah radhiyallahu anhu was wanted, he wanted peace from amongst the Ummah. And rather than later have Yazid to uprise against the companions and for more battles to happen, he decided that let's make Yazid the Khalifa and inshallah we'll leave it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he had hopes, he didn't know he was bad. So Yazid was to take power. But Imam Hussein radhiyallahu anhu, he knew the state, the character of Yazid. How could he allow such a person to take leadership of the Muslims? How could he possibly allow this? He could not allow this. So it's mentioned that when Imam Hassan radhiyallahu anhu passed away, then the leader of Madinat al-Munawwarah, he called Imam Hussein radhiyallahu anhu because Yazid was in charge. And he called Imam Hussein radhiyallahu anhu and he said, give bayat to me. And through me, he gave him bayat to Yazid. Imam Hussein radhiyallahu anhu said, you know, how could I give bayat to you? He said, give me some time. Because the Imam Hussein radhiyallahu anhu then went to his house. That same night, he left Makkah al-Mukarramah. That same night, it's mentioned that he left for Makkah al-Mukarramah.
So now, just pausing there, Shabazz. So, what you've got to imagine is this: that Medina al-Munawwarah. Today, when somebody goes to Medina Sharif, leaving Medina Park is the most difficult part of your Umrah. Can you imagine that time when the great Hazrat Imam Hussein was? So forced to leave because of the situation that had arisen, the leaving Medina to Munawwarah. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how the streets of Medina must have been crying? Because the great Imam is leaving. Can you imagine what was going through his heart? Because he came home and the scholars write that he went to the Rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he cried there, and then he went to Jannat al-Baqi' Sharif and to the Rawza Mubarak of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha. And you know, these were all, and it was such a difficult
decision. This would be his last leaving as well.
And his last leaving as well. And he knew what his journey entailed. It wasn't as if, and he could have stayed there. It was very simple for him.
Mm-hmm. You know, before leaving Medina, it says that there were letters that were sent to Imam Hussain radiallahu anha.
They were in Makkah al-Mukarramah. I don't know if you've read Medina, that's fine, possibly Medina, but inshallah I'm going to get to that also.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Imam Hussain al-Ali, in fact, is a miracle, and this is mentioned in the book of Amir al-Islam, the miraculous wonders of Sayyidina Imam Hussain. Now, when he was leaving from Makkah al-Mukarramah, he actually left at night, he left secretly, along with all his family. He said, because they take some days to arrive at Makkah al-Mukarramah. So on the way he met a beautiful individual and a blessed individual just for meeting Imam Hussein رضي الله عنه. Sayyidina Ibn Muti رضي الله عنه. And Sayyidina Ibn Muti رضي الله عنه, you can say those people who are in the villages, they didn't have the khabar, they didn't know what was going on. In a way, they didn't know what was going on. And he was worried about his wealth. He had a wealth. Within that well, there was hardly any water. So he comes and he sees that Imam Hussein is here. He approaches Imam Hussein anhu and he says that, oh child of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have a well and the water in that is cast. There's hardly any water in the well. And he's asking for help from Imam Hussein radhiallahu anhu. See, Imam Hussein radhiallahu anhu, he doesn't say, oh, I am busy, I need to be quick, I need to do this, I need to do, what does he do? He says, okay, bring me some water from the well. What little water there is, bring me some water. He says, he brings him a bucket of water. See, Imam Hussein radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gargles the water and then he places it back into the well.
Oh.
And from that, subhanAllah, the again, that well. I don't know, have you ever been to this? Have you ever, do you know this well which is deep between Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwara?
No.
Have you ever heard of it, anything? No. SubhanAllah, but no doubt it happened. It's from the hadith of the Prophet, of, you could say, the companions. So they went to Madinah al-Munawwara, Hazrat Imam Hussein radhiallahu anhu. Why? Because now you could say, sorry, they went to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Because now Madinah al-Munawwara, you could say, was also going into the power of the Umayyads. Going into the power of the people.
You know, it says, Mawlana Hassan Raza Khan Rahmatullah Alayhi writes that letters were written to three individuals in Madinah Sharif, because Yazid knew that these were the three people.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, Abdullah bin Zubair, Abdullah ibn Umar, and Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And he knew, he says that Hussein is the most wanted one. Why? Because he is the lion, the son of a lion.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure, and there were only a few conditions, and the condition was, do bad, you'll be left alone, or else be ready for war.
This is where it's very important to kind of get to the essence of the difficulty. What Yazid had was the power handed to him, right? But he wanted to legitimize his power.
Yeah.
So he wanted people to accept that he was Amir al-Mu'mineen. And in his mind,
in order to do that,
he had to get these three hasties, and especially Hazrat Imam Hussein, Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam on board.
Yeah.
And so, but
only then automatically the rest of the people
would follow. Now, the thing is though, when we look at Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam, Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, when the governor of Medina calls him and says, this is the Peygham I've got and you need to swear an oath of allegiance to Yazid, right? Now, it was very simple for Hazrat Imam Hussein, Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu anhu, to accept that. Why? Well, his older brother passed on the power. Older brother has passed away. He's in a very difficult situation. But what is important here is this. Why didn't he accept that oath of allegiance? The reason he didn't was, by accepting an oath of allegiance, he was accepting the legitimacy of Yazid. Hukumat, yes? What was the problem with that? The problem was that Yazid had brought, basically diluting the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was making rules up as he went along.
Mm-hmm.
Himself as a character, he was an alcoholic, he was a womanizer. Even though in his time, some of my rights, he'd been an imam of a masjid, he was corrupt. And this was the difficulty. What Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, was battling was not the fact that he had been handed power by his father and legitimately it should be somewhere else. That wasn't the problem. The problem was that the person who was claiming to be the Amir al-Mu'mineen was actually corrupt and was going to destroy Islam from the inside so that he would make practices known, which were, for example, nikah between
brothers and sisters
and things like that. And this was the thing. This was why Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam at that time made the decision that there's no way I can accept the legitimacy of this government. Because if I accept it, the entire world will accept it. This is important.
And everyone was looking towards Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, what decision he made.
Like you mentioned, that there were three individuals and they sent letters to all, but they knew that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that Abdullah wouldn't fight. He would look for peace and he would say, and he said that he's leaving in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he's good, then that's good for the Ummah. If he's bad, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall deal with him. Ba'az al-Zubayr ibn Awam, he did revolt a little, is mentioned in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And that's why Imam Hussain was safe to go there. When he went there, now, as we mentioned, that there were messengers going to Imam, the three of them, but it's mentioned there was over 60 that came to Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu. From where? From Kufa. Now, in the 37th year after Hijri, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had taken the capital of his
governorship,
the governorship from Medina al-Munawwarah to Kufa. And within Kufa, there was a group known as the Group of Ali. Now, at that time, they were just a political party. There was nothing in terms of theology, there was no such thing. Now, them people, Ali radiallahu anhu had a lot of problems with them. They would, a lot of times, they wouldn't listen to what Ali radiallahu anhu would say. And it's mentioned that they actually would, even, mazallah, they would, you could say,
there would be holding very,
the two.
Yes,
there would be an affliction between the two. Now, them people, when they hated the Umayyads, they hated mazallah, Yazid also. So they were sending letters to Imam Hussain al anhu that we will help you. When Imam Hussain al anhu received these letters that yes, we have so much people in Kufa, then maybe I should go to Kufa. So this is what he thinks.
There are two things here. This is important because there is the physical side of things, the reality that we see. Yeah. So the people of Kufa are writing letters to Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu is thinking that I will be able to make the situation better if I travel to Makkah al-Mukarramah and on to Kufa. That's the reality of what it was. But spiritually, he knew what his journey was. And Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'm sure you'll come to it, had already predicted exactly what was going to happen. I'll let you carry on.
Subhanallah. Now, upon receiving all these letters, what does he do? He actually makes his mind, said, I'm going to go to Kufa. But before leaving himself, he takes his cousin by the name of Muslim ibn Aqil. Muslim ibn Aqil's father was the brother of Hazrat Ali al-Murtada radhiyallahu anhu. There were three brothers, one Aqil, one Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu, one Hazrat Ja'far radhiyallahu anhu. So Muslim ibn Aqil was Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu's as the Imam Hussain radhiallahu's first cousin. So he sent his first cousin to go to Kufa to see as to what was happening. Like a scout, to go see what was happening. And if these rumors were true or if these letters were true, then he would also make his way there. The Muslim Ibn Aqil, when he would go to Kufa and he realized that, subhanAllah, all these people, they are telling the truth. So they all come, is mentioned, 12,000 people give bayat to the Muslim Ibn Aqil, meaning to give bayat to the Imam Hussain radhiyallahu anhu. And between each, because these were leaders of tribes, so they would have 10, 20 people behind them, a family. So that the people, the head of the family that gave their bayat,
the
oath of allegiance. So he had approximately 40, 50,000 people behind him there. So the Muslim Ibn Aqil radhiyallahu anhu, immediately he sends a letter to Imam Hussain. What did he say now? The distance between Kufa and Makkah al-Mukarramah is approximately, it takes 2 to 3 weeks for a quick person to send a message. Approximately 2 to 3 weeks. Now, he sends a letter to Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, saying to him that here, this many people have given birth to me, that we have leadership here, we have followers, people who want to revolt, people who want to bring up this revolution. And he says, come quickly as you can. So this letter reaches Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu.
Just to clarify, you mentioned the revolt or the revolution. But the revolt was against somebody who had inherited power, but who himself was
not deserving. Yes.
Not deserving. So he was basically at the same time taking the very fabric of the Islamic society and tearing it to shreds.
Mm-hmm.
He was taking the Islamic rules, the Quran, the ayat, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and was basically doing an injustice to them. And this is why these people were saying that we are ready to stand up against this injustice.
And Muslim Ibn Aqil radhiyallahu anhu, when he was there and he sent this note for Hazrat Hussain radhiyallahu anhu to come, it said that Yazid heard this, and Yazid, by the way, was in Damascus. That's where his leadership was, because Hazrat Amir Amir radhiyallahu anhu was sent there in the time of Umar ibn Khattab. in Damascus. So the Yazid was in Damascus. Now when Yazid heard these rumors, he called a person by the name of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, known famously as Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad, is said he was approximately 26, 27 years old at this time. But he was the man who was greedy for power. Ibn Ziyad was a man who, the man you can say to get the job done.
No he matter was callous what, and yeah. He had no respect for humanity.
Not
he,
at all.
He only looked at what he needed to do
yes,
to get
the job needed
the
to get done, yes. He would do it. No matter what it was, in order for he.
So if it meant killing people, even innocent people, he didn't look back.
Well, like I say, when someone is really, you know, blind because of power and wealth, you don't even look in. He didn't even realize that who, what am I doing? That is the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
This is where Yazid was very interested. Yazid appointed this person to go to Kufa, didn't he?
Gee.
And he appointed him because he knew that this person is callous and very, very dangerous. And he will not listen to, he will not stop at anything to please me. Because if he pleases me, he gets power.
So now this person by the name of Ibn Ziyad, he leaves for Kufa with guess how many people? 17 people. Only 17 people, with only an entourage of 17 people, he goes to Kufa. And wow, what he does. He takes the letter from Yazid, which declares that he is the leader of Kufa. So that he tells the leader, you're finished now. You've been sacked. I'm now the leader of Kufa. So he becomes the leader of Kufa. And he knows that there's a person known as Muslim ibn Aqil who's come, who's been sent by Imam Hussein radhiyallahu anhu to gather the people. So he's heard these rumors. What does he do? He gets the job done. He asks one person from his entourage, one of his followers, and he gets him to dress. In fact, you know, before he himself went there, he had his face covered. You know, even Ziyad, when he went to Kufa, he had his face covered, acting like Imam Hussein, radhiyallahu anhu. So then people, when they saw him, they began to say, As-salamu alayka, ya ibn al-Rasul. As-salamu alayka, ya Hussein. So, As-salamu alaykum, Hussein, you finally come. You know, joy, they were expressing the happiness. As-salamu alaykum, child of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he saw this, this confirmed what he had assumed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now he was sure that Imam Hussein radhiyallahu anhu or Muslim ibn Aqil is here and they're going to revolt and they're expecting Imam Hussein radhiyallahu anhu to come. So what he did was he got to work. He got one of his people from his entourage to dress like a traveler, like a one of the group of the Ali radhiyallahu anhu to act as if he's come from Sham, and he had a large sack of money on his back. And he asked him to go and find Musa ibn Aqil and to tell the people, I've come from Syria and I have this money and a message for Musa ibn Aqil. And I will not speak to anybody but Musa ibn Aqil himself. So he goes there and he meets an individual by the name of Hani. I think it's Hani ibn Urwa. He meets an individual by Hani ibn Urwa. Hani ibn Urwa was a person who you can say he supported the Umayyads, but he was actually on the side of Hazrat Ali and the side of Imam Hussein radhiyallahu anhu. And he had housed Muslim ibn Aqil. So when they came to Hani ibn Urwa, when this person he came with a bag of money, he said, I want to see Muslim ibn Aqil. He said, no. If you want to give it, you give it to me. So he gave him the money. From that, he found out that Hani ibn Urwa had housed Muslim ibn Aqil, so he's the man to capture. He goes back and he tells him. He tells Ibn Ziyad that Hani ibn Aqil is the person to kill. So Ibn Ziyad, he takes Hani ibn Aqil. Hani ibn Urwa. Now, when he takes him, what does he do? Is mentioned that he takes him to the emperor and
to the top of the castle.
And he takes him to the top of the castle, and then ma'azallah, he throws him off.
He throws him off
the peak of the castle.
And the reason for that was that you've got the Kufis who have sworn an oath of allegiance on the hands of Muslim bin Aqil, and now he needs to scare them.
Exactly.
He takes the very person who is standing in front of Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil, and he takes him to the top, and in front of the people, he martyrs him.
In fact, now I come to remember it, and I'll take my word back, he doesn't martyr him. He
that was Muslim
ibn Aqil. Yes, he martyred Muslim ibn Aqil. This is Hani ibn Urwa. So he takes him and he says that with a spear he stabs him. And then his child's man come and say, don't do anything to him. He says, don't worry, I let him off as long as we get Muslim Ibn Aqil. But he didn't get Muslim Ibn Aqil though. Now they had a code. They had like a secret code, which was Ya Mansur Amit. Meaning that if we were to say these words, this means quickly gather your troops, gather your people, your weapons and come. So when he was captured, this is what he said. He was then let go, and it's mentioned that from those 40,000-50,000 people who did bay'at to Imam Hussein radhiyallahu anhu, who was a Muslim Ibn Aqil, along with Muslim Ibn Aqil, only 4,000 of them appeared. Only 4,000 of them people appeared. Now, again, this person is extremely intelligent, there's no doubt about it, this Ibn Ziyad. What does he do? He emotionally, he blackmails them, he bribes them. The leaders, he offers them money, and lots of money, money that they, because they're money hungry, they can't refuse.
Money and power.
Yeah, money and power, exactly. So they can't refuse. Remember, these are the people who also, they wouldn't bother about Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. So why would they bother about his son? And it's also mentioned that their parents would come out and they would say, oh, you know, there's no need for you to go and fight, or we can't have you go and fight, come back home. And it said that it was the morning when they came, 4,000 people. By the time of Asr, there was only 70 people with Hazrat Muslim Ibn Aqil.
Allahu.
By the time of Maghrib, there's approximately 30 people. By the time of Isha, there's approximately 10 people. This is in the dark. And then, Hazrat Muslim Ibn Aqil anhu, realizing that he's only got 10 people behind him, how is he meant to lay siege to the fortress? How is he meant to do anything? And so he says that he decides to go and regroup his people. As he's going, every single one of those 10 people leave him in the darkness. He's on his own. Muslim Ibn Aqil anhu is on his own. What does he do? He has no money, no money, no food, nothing. The cousin of Imam Hussein, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he goes and he knocks on a person's door. An old woman opens. She's from the tribe of Kindan. Now this was the main tribe who claimed that they would support Imam Hussein Zanu. But she was an old woman. Now he asked for water. She gives him water. Then she says, okay, leave now. But then he trusts her and he says, I am Muslim Ibn Aqil. And she takes him in. The next day or a few days, well not a few days, because it was mentioned 9th after Hijri when he was killed. Mm-hmm. So one or two days after, her son comes. And when her son finds out, she says, please do not tell anybody. He actually goes and in secret he goes, tells of him. And then, Ibn Ziyad, he sends troops to go surround the house.
Didn't Ibn Ziyad put a reward on for whoever
he
finds?
He sends troops outside from what I've read a few different books, and I'm just taking the general story from a few different books, that he sends some troops to surround the house.
At this time, the one thing, obviously, as Muslim Ibn Aqil is worried about himself and his safety, but at the same time, one of the greatest things he's worried about is he's already sent the message to Makkah that it is good here, and Imam, why did he
send that? I said, send that message. I'm going to get back to Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. Inshallah. So they were with him in the house. And then they asked him, they say, if you don't come out, then we're going to put your house on fire. And then he says, he comes out, and then they say to him, and this individual, I can't remember his name, but this individual says to him, that if you surrender, we'll leave you. If you surrender, we're just going to take you to the, but we won't harm you. And mazallah, he lied. And his mazallah, they kill him afterwards. But he says, you know, this person who was taken, this Muslim Ibn Aqil, he says, to this other individual who took him, the leader, the lieutenant, the commander, he says to him, promise me one thing. Get news to Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That send news to Imam, send his message to Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, that do not come to Kufa, these people are not to be trusted, immediately go back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Immediately go back. And this one thing he actually does, he sends his message to Imam Hussein. But remember, it takes 2-3 weeks to get back there, to get a message back there. So that wouldn't get there in time. Before he passed away, he said that he recited the Tasmiyah, he recited the Shahada, and he said that, Oh Allah, you are the judge between us, the group of Ali. Where then people claimed to help us, but they had actually run. He said, Oh Allah, you are the judge between them and us, and then he was killed. Now, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, who is now in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he's not heard news of this. That Muslim Ibn Aqil radiallahu anhu has been killed. And that message which Muslim Ibn Aqil has sent, he's not received that message yet. So he's only received that previous message that he said, I come quickly to Kufa, the people have given the oath of allegiance. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu is about to leave. Now, the companions, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he says, please do not go. People, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, please do not go. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, they say, do not go, do not go. It's mentioned now, up to the left, on the way, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who was, again, amongst the senior ones. Even him, he had intercepted him on the way. And they said that he begged him, oh Hussein, please do not go. Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu do not have a reply, and honestly, it's beautiful. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, he says that I prefer that if I am to be killed, then I shall be killed outside of the haram rather than allow this to be open for bloodshed. Meaning he knows he is to be killed, one thing. He knows he is to be martyred, one thing. The second thing, meaning what? That Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu knows that if Yazid is to take power, and he is to conquer the other lands, he is going to come to Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwarah and kill the people here. So he'll kill us here anyway. You see, so this was the situation they were in, where it was inevitable that we had a person known as Yazid who was stuck to nothing. So he would do anything.
Was it Shirazi, as well as the other great kind of principles and the great maqsad, the great things that Hazrat Imam Ali Muhammad wanted to achieve, one of the reasons for leaving Madinah al-Munawwara and Makkah al-Mukarramah was to protect these cities, because he knew that Yazid would come after him. And if he was in these cities, then these cities would also be in peril, and therefore he left to try and, I mean, look at the amazing Madani search. I mean, he leaves everything, knowing where he's going, but even at that time, he's trying to protect the cities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the great Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu anhu.
But sadly, Yazid does come and
doesn't come and do that.
Anyway,
but Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu anhu's search was amazing.
Subhanallah.
Everything if you look at, Mashallah, you're the learned scholar of deen, but all the factors and everything is against going to Kufa. Yet, despite the great companions actually begging him not to go, Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam, Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, decides to make that journey against everything. Why? Because he understood the greater importance of it.
Ji. Now, Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu still decides to go. Now, at the beginning, I mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith is what? Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn. Husayn is from me and I am from Husayn. Why did I mention this? Because when Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, amongst the greatest of companions, when Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he saw that Hazrat Imam Husayn radiallahu anhu, no doubt he's going to leave, he tells him, he says something to him. What does he say? It's beautiful what he says. He says that, oh Husayn, I am going to tell you a hadith which I have heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Only I have heard this. And until now, I have never told anybody about this hadith. I have heard this from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, and I have never told anybody else about this hadith. He says that when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala was going to leave this world for the eternal world, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam says to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the option. You can live or remain in this world. You can live in this world and become a king in this world and stay in this world, or you can go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Which one do you choose? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have chosen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over this world. And then Hazrat Ibn Umar, Abdullah Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he goes on. He says, now from this, I have learned that your family will never be a king, will never be a leader, because the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam has chosen the Akhirah, has chosen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the world. He says, you will never become a king, you will never become a leader.
MashaAllah, my Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, some of the events that we talked about, Harun bhai, any Madani pearls for the Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel before we finish?
Hazrat Imam Hussain, it was very easy, while he had an easy life in Madinah Park, to accept what everybody, the whole Islamic empire had accepted. Although the entire Islamic empire was looking towards him, he could have simply, you know, said, fine, you know, it's beyond me, and therefore I will accept it. And by accepting it, he could have made his life easy.
Yeah. But and he would have been, as they say, loaded today.
He would have had
a very comfortable life.
He would have had all the luxuries. I mean, without doubt, Yazid would have probably given him some sort of great status as well. Yeah. But it wasn't about the status or anything else. This was about was preserving and ensuring that the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained undiluted, so that no Yazid could dilute it and add things or take away things.
So I just want to add that here, that this is a lesson for us as well. Now, when it comes to the deen, nothing should be, compromised. The deen should be number one. Sometimes if you look at it today, sometimes Islamic brothers, Islamic sisters, they shy off. Yeah. When it comes to, traveling on the Madani Qafile, leaving their homes. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu not only left his home, but he knew that he was not going to come back again. In return, today, when it comes to traveling on the Madani Qafile, we shy off, we think about our dunya, our work, and our children.
Look, I think the lesson is that Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu taught us that the most important thing was the sabilandi of the deen, the protection of the deen. And more importantly than everything else, he showed us that Izzat is in Islam. Yazid was going off his different ways. But today, whenever anybody writes, they say there was this badbakht called Yazid. But today, everybody who writes says, there is Hussein. He is. And this is the difference. Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu sought his Izzat and Waqar from Islam and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Like you mentioned, especially our youngsters, many of them don't even know who Yazid was. But many of them have their surname as Hussein.
What he said was, I was listening to a beautiful bayan, and he said that, look, whenever you do a deed, if it's a bad deed, the pleasure that comes from that only lasts seconds or minutes or something, and then it ends. But in your book of deeds, it is written forever.
Yeah.
And if you do a good deed, the enjoyment or the hardship that you suffer, yeah, during that deed will only last minutes or whatever, but it will be written in your book of deeds forever. Now, just looking at that, the great sacrifice of Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been written in golden words throughout the books of history and will carry on till the Day of Judgment.
Two totally different perspectives. You have two totally different decisions. One, the decision of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu to put the religion first over the world. And the second was the decision of Yazid, who put the world before the religion. And two different consequences. Where Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, as we mentioned, will be remembered up until the Day of Judgment. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu will be praised up until the Day of Judgment. On the other hand, we have who Yazid. What I was trying to mention is that life is short for everybody. Nobody knows when they're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two options we have to. You can spend it based on the religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted steadfastness on the
Imam.
Or you could spend it doing other things, which again are temporary things. It's transitory, it's just for a little while. After that, it will finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go.
That's beautiful, because we've got a choice. Every time in our lives, we have a choice between the right way and the wrong way. Think of it as this way. If you love Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and you have aqeedah towards them, then when you're making those decisions, and you know which is right and wrong, choose the way that Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala would choose. And there is the time. So if it's time for Fajr Salah, Yazid would lie around and miss his namaz. Imam Ali Muqam wouldn't. Imam Ali Muqam prayed when he was in deep trouble. In the plains of Karbala, the household of Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam didn't miss the namaz. In the plains of Karbala, if you look, the recitation of the Quran came from the camps of Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam. Again, today, our houses are empty of the Quran. Are we following Yazid or are we following Imam Ali Muqam? Today, our houses need to, subah sham, Quran ki talawat jari honi chahiye. Then we can say we love Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam. Agar koi hamare ghar mein, nobody misses salah in our house, then we are ardent followers of Hazrat Imam Hussein. But at namaz time, we are busy watching television, then we are following, although we claim that Hussein radiallahu anhu is our leader, if we follow in the footsteps of Yazid, it is just a claim, isn't it?
Pyare Islam Bhaiyo, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you were watching our silsila blessings of Sahaba and Ahle Bayt. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he would teach the Sahaba ikram to either fast one day before Ashura and on the day of Ashura, or on Ashura and one day after Ashura. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, those who are fit and healthy and can inshallah Azza wa Jal keep a roza, try to keep a roza inshallah Azza wa Jal. It's a very, very blessed day. No doubt many masajids will be holding many events for inshallah Azza wa Jal. And I want you to please, you know, any masajids, any Ahle Sunnat masajids that you see that are holding events in the memory of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, go and pay your respects. Because alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we are going to go and learn about the life of Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And like Harun bhai said, we need to implement that in our lives.
Hazrat, there are madni kaflas across different masajids in different towns over this weekend in Bradford. I know that for them, you know, Rochdale as well, there are madni kaflas. The whole weekend they will be spending it in beautiful ways.
You know, try to sacrifice some time and go to these madni kaflas and learn knowledge. May Allah Ta'ala give us all ability, and may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive our sins. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Salam be upon the ones who sacrificed their love.